Log Talk Radio.
Yeah, and I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. From the shot, like Tim, it's a harder way. So this is in the name of love, like Robert say. Before you ask me to go get a job today, can I at least get a raise on the minimum wage? And I know the government administers the aid, so I guess we just pray like the minister say. I'll do hot bars and throwing some hot cars. The things we see on the screen, it's not ours. But these niggas from the hood, so these dreams not far. Where I'm from, the dope boys is the rock stars. But they can't cop cars without being cop cars. I guess they want us all behind bars. I know it, and I heard them say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. And I heard them say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. But we'll find a way.
Brothers thirsty, hungry to get that thing.
Too many tears of pain, too many years of struggle, too many drops of blood, too many problems to juggle, too few jobs available, too few schools equipped, too few role models, just gangsters and pimps. Will you succumb? Will your heart grown up? Or will you save the world and use your mind like a gun? I'm the one. I turn a sick up kid to a soldier. Me and a roof, word up, we taking over.
Two of my people, just lift your fist. Seems like it ain't no peace, no justice. I just want it from the bullet or the microchip. Either way, you got to lift your fist. We get it down like this. All my people just fall your fist. Word up, it ain't no peace, no justice. I just want it from the bullet or the microchip. So all my people just lift your fist. How you want it? No peace, no justice. From the bullet, or even from the microchip. Either way, you got to lift your fist. We get it down like this. Real, lift your fist. Come on, my people, y'all. It ain't no justice.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
For the average man who's living your typical, basic, conventional lifestyle, you know, 40 hours per week at the gig before coming home to his wife, 2.5 kids, and the family dog in a mortgaged home in a suburban subdivision, life can begin to seem like one indefinite but yet manageable routine. No real challenges, no true bumps in the road. But what about for those other guys out there, the more ambitious ones? Take, for example, your self-employed, highly driven entrepreneur with the unpredictable work schedule, the man who has to answer phone call after phone call, attend meeting after meeting, and deal with crisis after crisis. What about that fella? How does a man with a demanding career and a wide array of obligations and interests begin to put all of his responsibilities and priorities in place in such a way that the most appropriate amount of time and attention is correctly allocated to each activity in his ultra-busy itinerary? My guest for the evening is a former NFL running back who knows a little bit about time management and the pursuit of ambitious goals. He is a pharmaceuticals executive as well as a book author and motivational speaker. His number one goal is to inspire and uplift young African American teenagers and young adult males so that they may permanently cease to offer any more invalid excuses as why they can't create the life for themselves that they so deeply yearn for. Who is this man who has mastered the art of taking care of his physique, giving quality time to his wife and kids, and still has enough time left over to travel all across the country enthusiastically speaking to many of today's troubled youth? His name is Robert Jackson, and tonight, Brother Jackson will drop some knowledge and wisdom on my listening audience about juggling career, family, health and fitness, and adult responsibilities and ambitions as he is about to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this same Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and bury someone in a race?
You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
I will match your work. I want to be the one to make you happiest and hurt you the most. They say the end is near. It's important that we're close to the most high. Regardless of what happened on him, let's rely.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, April 16th, and tonight's show features a very powerful motivational speaker and book author who travels around the country lighting a fire under the butts of lazy, complacent, misguided teenagers and college students, particularly African-American males. He's the author of a book entitled No More Excuses, Black Man Stand Up, and he'll be my guest for the evening, and I'll get to him in a few moments. But first, let me tell you who is coming up on my show next week and beyond. Next week, I will be interviewing a young lady who originally grew up in France, Paris, France, and now she is a highly sought-after feng shui expert. Feng shui. Now, if you're not familiar with feng shui, that's the art of arranging your items in your house or office, your furniture, in such a way that it leads to a more relaxed, positive attitude. It enhances your inner and outer harmony. That's what feng shui is all about, and she's an expert in feng shui. And not only is she an expert to do it, you know, arranging your furniture in your house and your office, but she's going to talk with me about the connection between feng shui and your love life, the connection between feng shui and your love life. So that should be a very interesting discussion. Then in 2 or 3 weeks, I will have a gentleman by the name of Dr. Robert Glover. He is a dating coach and relationship advisor, and he is the author of the book, No More Mr. Nice Guy! Exclamation point. No More Mr. Nice Guy. He covers some of the same principles and philosophies that I do in my book, Mo 1, And so that should be a great interview. Again, his book is entitled No More Mr. Nice Guy. Now, let me give out a few shout-outs in my chat room. I got my broham and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, in the chat room, SCC007. I got Dr. Jane Branham. She was a guest on my show a few weeks ago. She's in the chat room, known as Power Path to Love. That's also the title of her book. Have a young lady named Joy Keys. Have Hyper in the chat room. Hyper in the chat room. He's a loyal friend and supporter of my show. Got my girl, Adrienne, the most sports knowledgeable woman I know in this country. That's right, Diva 36-26-36. She is in my chat room, and she keeps telling me she having sound problems. So, Adrian, you got to click on the link if you're having sound problems. Hopefully nobody else in the chat room is having sound problems. I got a few guests in the chat room joining me, and I'm sure a few other friends and supporters will be coming on in the chat room. Love my chat room users as well as all of my listening audience members, whether they're on the East Coast, West Coast, the South, the Midwest. A few other shout-outs would be my cousins, Christopher Curry, Atha Ball, Jason P. Jones, good friend Gordon Chube, Jerry Elaine Gooseby Smith, Gregory Grego Hines, Maurice Moaz Taylor, Jeff Kent, Corey Pullman, Kathy Holloway Hill, Will Wavy, Steve the Dean Williams, the Lovologist, and all my other fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues, as well as my Facebook buddies. Boy, Facebook is just blowing up, ain't it? Everybody and their mama is on Facebook, except for my brother. He's not on Facebook. He's not feeling Facebook, but his wife is on there. But, yeah, a lot of people are on Facebook, and that's how I interact with a lot of friends, relatives, former classmates, et cetera. What is up with these Somalian pirates, man? I'm tired of them. They like to be just hijacking these ships, holding people for ransom. Man, you know, that was a great rescue of that Captain Phillips last Sunday. And the U.S. Navy is to be applauded. But, I mean, these guys are out of control. Now, you know this relates to dating, and I talked about this on a previous show. There was one of the pirates that they interviewed. He said one of his motivations for being a Somalian pirate is he said he gets more attention from women. Now, isn't that sad that he said when he was a upstanding citizen, he got no attention from women, but as soon as he became a criminal, he started getting attention from women in this country. There's something wrong about that. But, yeah, that's what he said. That's what one of the Somalian pirates said. This was probably about a month ago. And I'm tired of reading about him. I'm tired of reading about him. We need Jack Bauer from 24 to come in and do something with these Somalian pirates. And you heard about these tea parties. What's up with these tea parties? I'm sorry, I don't like Newt Gingrich tea. I don't like Ann Coulter tea. I personally drink Snapple. I drink Snapple, that's right. I'm giving them a free advertisement because I drink Snapple, which is made from the best stuff on earth. I love that peach Snapple, man. Woo! Woo, man, I love that peach Snapple, man. Don't even mess. I'll fight you for that peach Snapple. I love peach Snapple. That's the only tea I drink. But did you read where Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, and chicken wings, that's right, Adrian, I love chicken wings. Chicken wings and peach Snapple. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody who listens to my show know I love me some chicken wings, boy. Oh, man. Shoot. My doctor, she recently told me, Alan, you got to cool out on the chicken wings. I said, hey, we all got to go somehow, some way. If I got to go through chicken wings and Snapple, baby. But, yeah, Bobby Jindal told Dick, former Vice President Dick Cheney, told him to cool out for criticizing Obama. That surprised me because, you know, these are both Republicans. But he told him to cool out. He said, lay off Obama. I like seeing DJ in my chat room. Welcome, DJ. NBA playoffs, man. I don't know if you've been hearing. Allen Iverson is a little upset. He's a little upset because they want to put him on a bench. He said he would rather retire than come off the bench. That's what he said. Boston might be in trouble because Kevin Garnett looks like right now it's like a 95-99% chance he will not be seen in the playoffs. So Kevin Garnett looks like he's out, which will make the chances of Boston repeating as NBA champs more challenging. Now, I'm hurt today. I got a black band around my arm. And people who know me know I got a black band around my arm. The good news is nobody died. But I'm a big fan. I used to be. I kind of retired. But I'm a big fan of this video game introduced to me by my good friend DeMario Gray, EA Sports, John Madden NFL. Man, I used to play that game, man. Well, I remember one Saturday I played that game for like about 8, 9, 10 hours, man. John Madden football. He retired. He's retiring after this year. He's retiring. So, man, I'm going to miss his voice, you know. I know Frank Caliendo and all those other comics would make fun of him, but, man, you just associate him with NFL football. His voice is synonymous with NFL football. And I loved his game. His game will continue. Actually, I haven't played the game, actually, in a couple of years. But I used to love it, man, from like mid to late 90s all the way up until about 2 or 3 years ago. I was addicted to that game. But, yeah, he's going to retire. So all people who love the NFL, all people who love that video game are sad today because you won't hear him say, bim, bam, boom. You know, he's always like saying them words like, you know, man. And finally, Jamie Foxx. Did you hear about Jamie Foxx, a fellow radio personality? He had criticized the teenage idol, Miley Cyrus, otherwise known as Hannah Montana. Evidently, she said something about another group called Radiohead, which Jamie Foxx and his crew thought was too egotistical on our part. So he lightheartedly said that she should grow up, and part of growing up would be making a sex tape. And Billy Ray Cyrus, her father, stepped in, and oh, man. You know what he said, though? You know what he said? He said he wasn't in his right state of mind when he criticized Miley. He said he has an excuse for what he said, and this was his excuse. That's what he said. Jamie said, blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. Yep, that was his excuse. And speaking of excuses and those who are critical of invalid excuses, my guest for the evening is someone I met just under a year ago. He's a fraternity brother of mine. He's a former running back for both the NFL's Minnesota Vikings, L.A. Raiders. He received a Bachelor of Science degree in Industrial Technology from Western Kentucky University, where he lettered 4 years in football and track, and he is very active in community organizations, a number of organizations, among others, 100 Black Men of Indianapolis, as I mentioned, Fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity, National Black NBA Association, Student African American Brotherhood. I work with them myself. My guest says if you're not part of the solution, then you are part of the problem. On behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and Blog Talk Radio, listeners, give it up for Mr. Robert Jackson.
What's going on, bro?
What is up, Brother Jackson?
Hey, man, we're trying to make it, taking it one day at a time, brother. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Now, you know, I got to start off asking you, man, what did you think about when you heard that John Madden was retiring as a broadcaster?
Let me tell you something, man. I don't get too excited about too many people, man. But when I was out in Minnesota, John Madden came out to our practice. And, man, I'm telling you what, man, you seen grown men acting like kids, man. He's just an idol of all of ours, man. He's just, when you think of football, man, you just think about John Madden's voice, man. So, you know, it was you know, it's a sad day, but happy. You know, the brother's 73, man. It's time to, you know, I guess he got some, he wanted to do some other things. But, you know, I was saddened by it, but I was also happy for him that he had such a illustrious career, man. So,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
mixed feelings about that.
Yeah, you said it. Because some people, you know, have had great careers on the field and, I don't know, maybe been average, slightly above average in the broadcasting booth. But,
right.
You know, he won a Super Bowl as a coach. And then he just took it to another level as a broadcaster. And
actually, he's the winningest coach in NFL history now, who's won 100 games, you know. So,
oh, really? I didn't know that.
He had a pretty good record, man. He won over 100 games with the Raiders, and he only lost something like 29 games and won like 100-something games. So that's a pretty good record for the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know what's funny? Before I get in the conversation, I got to tell my listening audience that me and you bonded in an interesting ailment that we both suffer from one degree or another, which
right.
is I don't like to talk about it too much publicly because people tell me they're not going to ride in the car with me or some other stuff. But
right.
I'm telling my listeners, if you didn't know, I suffer from both narcolepsy and sleep apnea. Which, speaking of the NFL, there's at least one notable NFL player who actually passed away because of sleep apnea, which was Reggie White.
Yeah, Reggie White, yeah, sure did.
And, but, yeah, when we were in New York, Brother Jackson and I, we were in New York recently, and I'm kicking it, and he had this nice hotel room. Man, I was hating on you. I know you say, man, you shouldn't be a hater, but I was
right.
hating on you, man. I had my hater hat because, man, Brother Jackson had this big, nice, fancy jacuzzi, man, in his hotel room. But he and I were talking about our sleep problems because you feel like you suffer. I don't know so much about the narcolepsy, but you definitely feel like you suffer from sleep apnea, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I used to a lot more in the past. I mean, I haven't recently.
Oh, that's right. You said when you were heavy. That's when you were.
When I was a little bit heavier. When I got done playing football, man, I was – you know, pretty bulky, man. And before I lost the weight and got my weight down, you know, I was having more problems. I think that, you know, once I got some of the weight off me, it was a lot better for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, in your NFL career, I know people like Barry Sanders said, playing NFL, he said it was enjoyable and satisfying, but at the same time, he said it was like being in a car crash every 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Were the athletes on the field just that fast and that strong?
Let me tell you something, man. Going from college to the NFL, man, was like night and day because, you know, in high school, from high school to college, you know, all the MVPs from all the high schools go to college and then they play and, you know, everybody's playing Division I. But going from the college ranks to the NFL, those big old linemen that are kind of slow in college. Mm-hmm. And NFL, you know, I mean, at one time I broke loose in a scrimmage for a touchdown. And I felt somebody breathing on me. I thought maybe it was a safety or a corner. It was a big defensive lineman. Mm. I mean, those guys are strong. They're fast. So it's a big difference, man, going to the National Football League, man. And those guys and everything, you know, TV doesn't do it any justice. I mean, it moves so fast out there. You can't hardly hear for one. And then, you know, the game just moves so fast, man. You got to have your head on a swivel, man. You might get it knocked off. Telling you, man. I've seen some boys get clobbered, man.
Now, did you have to, unlike high school, and I would say to a certain extent college, you know, the coaching staff almost kind of stays on you to stay in the weight room and stay in shape. But once you're on that level, you kind of got to take it upon yourself, right? You got to, like, hire maybe your own personal trainer, that type of thing.
Well, you know, either hire your trainer or be self-motivated. It takes a lot of discipline. Once you get to that level, man, because, you know, you got to get up in the morning, you got to work out, you got to eat right, you have to, you know, study your playbook. I mean, it's a lot of things that go into play. It's not easy as getting up on Sunday morning and going to play. I mean, it takes a lot of preparation, man, and people don't understand that it's a year-round process. I mean, you constantly got to keep working out and keeping your body in shape, man. It's tough. you know, and even in college it was tough. So, I learned a lot from, you know, watching Walter Payton's and watching the Jerry Rice's and all those guys and watching their work ethic, and I try to model myself after those folks.
Now, one more thing about NFL. Was there anybody you either played with and or against that really stands out in your mind?
Yeah, a lot of guys, man. Yeah, playing against, man. I mean, you see some of the guys that you grew up watching, like a Marcus Allen or, you know, seeing Jerry Rice. Seeing Jerry Rice and meeting him for the first time, man, was like...
How was that, man, meeting Jerry Rice?
Man, it was... It was like a dream come true, man, because Jerry came from a smaller school, Division I AA, and to see the accolades that he has now. And, you know, Jerry actually has my book. He's read my book. And, you know, just learning from his work ethic, man, he was just a workaholic. And, you know, my favorite was Walter Payton, though, man. Sweetness, man, was my favorite. I didn't get a chance to play against him, man, but I got a chance to meet him, man, and that was like a dream come true also.
Yeah, because I'm a fan of both of those, and my brother's a real big fan of Jerry Rice. But it's funny you mentioned both of those guys. One thing I know they do definitely, other than talent, of course, is that their off-season work ethic was, like, just legendary. They used to talk about how they would run on these steep mountains and hills and stuff. And, man, now how can you – the average brother take some of those thoughts and lessons that you experienced, because, of course, the average brother, of course, it would never make it into the NFL, but what are some work ethic lessons you can transfer to, let's call him the quote-unquote average brother, that he can incorporate into his life?
Well, you know what? Be honest with you, man, especially black men, if we be honest about it. There's a lot of disease that runs in our family, from diabetes to hypertension to, you know, prostate cancer and so many things that runs rapid in the black community. One thing we can do is start working out, man, and start eating right. Back in 1989, I stopped eating pork, you know, and that was almost, you know, it's been 20 years now, because I watched how it tore my family apart. Both my mom and grandmother, both on dialysis. You know, I watched people deteriorate. My father died of cancer, lung cancer. And I think we need to pay closer attention to our health. Black men don't like going to the hospital. We don't like going to the doctor. We have to start going and being seen, because some of this stuff can be prevented. I even wrote a chapter about it in my book called "It's God's Body, Take Care of It," just talking about things to look for and signs to look for, you know, when you are experiencing these health problems, and eating right and exercising. And, you know, exercising, you don't have to get on the treadmill and run for an hour. Exercising sometimes is parking away from the door at the mall and walking a little bit further, going to the mall, walking around, or doing some extracurricular activities, getting out in the yard and actually doing some work instead of putting your kids out there. You know, so there's a lot of things that we can do to stay in shape.
Now, I got to ask you a question. Not that you're, you know, an expert nutritionist per se, but one diet that in the short run has done me well, but in the long run has been an enemy of me. I tend to at least once a year go on a low-carb diet. And It causes you to lose weight in a very short period of time. But then, of course, once you start eating carbs again, you gain all that weight back. Well, what's your thoughts on kind of, for lack of a better term, fad diets like low-carb, low-fat? Do you think it's just about eating reasonable-sized meals and not even concentrating on stuff like low-carb, low-fat?
Well, I think everything in moderation. We all know that there are some fatty foods out there that we don't need to have, and if you have hypertension, you know, you got to lay off that hot sauce, man. Lay off the fried foods and be more conscious of what you're eating. But there are a lot of things that you can do. I think low-carb diet is good. When I was trying to lose weight, I put down the breads and the pastas and all that stuff after 6 o'clock. So there's nothing wrong with it. But the thing is, Brother Allen, you got to stay consistent with it. Because like you said, you can do it for a period of time and lose the weight, and then you jump back on what you was doing before, you're going to gain the weight right back. You have to do something. You got to maintain what you lost by staying on that low-carb diet if you're trying to keep the weight off. And you have to balance it with exercising. And, you know, you don't have to get on the weights and pound or lift real heavy weights. I mean, there's things you can do with the waist to tone your body up and stay active. So So there's a combination of things you can do, but there's nothing wrong with a low-carb diet, but you have to stick to it.
Now, is when it comes to working out, is one more important than the other? For example, is weights more, does it contribute to better health than, say, cardio, or is cardio more important, or you got to have an equal balance of both?
In my opinion, I think you have to have an equal balance. But if I had to pick one that was more important than the other, it would definitely be cardio, man. I mean, any time that you're being active, and especially, you know, being an athlete, I mean, a lot of athletes, when they get done playing, you see how big they are. And, you know, you're working out two or three times a day and you're eating and you're doing all the things. But when you stop playing and you may get your job or you may be doing some other things, you're not working out as much. So you're gaining all that weight back. So I think it's important to have a balance of cardio and a balance of eating right and a balance of the weights. I think all of them work hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Now, you see, listening audience, if you heard, the key punch word was balance. That's actually why I invited this brother on the show. Because I feel like a lot of people just don't have balance in their life, especially if they have a lot of activities they're involved. Now, before I leave the health tip, I always keep hearing this word, and you have to forgive me for my ignorance, but I hear in certain drinks, certain foods, antioxidant. What is antioxidant, man? Why is that? Why should that be significant to me?
Well, you know, with the foods that have so many hormones in it these days, a lot of people move to the antioxidants. They start shopping at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's because a lot of those foods keep out some of those toxins. You know, I mean, you think about KFC. Remember KFC when we was kids,
mm-hmm.
How the chicken tastes? And you look at KFC now, the breast is about big as your head. I mean, you know, that's why we wonder why our kids are – or in the seventh grade with a beard, you know. I mean, a lot of hormones out here in the food, man. So I think it's important to have a balance. I mean, I drink wheatgrass with some of my juice in the morning sometimes, and I try to have a balanced diet. But let me tell you something, man. I need my fried fish sometimes and my fried chicken, too. I'm still a brother, so I like fried chicken and fish. But, you know, I just do it in moderations, man. I don't, you know, I tell people all the time, they say, well, do you eat fried foods? I'm like, yeah, I eat fried foods. I just don't do it every day. Or sometimes I don't do it every week. I try to have a balance.
Okay, so see, because my listening audience knows that I joke almost every show or every other show. I love chicken wings, man. I could eat chicken wings like every day if I could. And,
wow.
But what you're telling me is that it's probably not good for me to be eating, like, Hooters chicken wings, like, every single day or 5 days a week, huh?
Well, not if you're trying to keep some weight off and stay balanced with your diet, man. It's probably not good. You probably need to incorporate some green stuff, man. Eat some broccoli and some grilled foods and stuff like that. So, no, it's probably not good to eat it every day, man. You got to have a little balance.
Now, see, that just didn't sound appealing to me, though. You said wheatgrass. See, that just don't register any excitement in my mind when I hear wheatgrass, man. But
you know what, man? When I was playing, I had our nutritionist, man. He kind of hit me on to some things I can do to, you know, drink some healthy drinks to stay healthy because a lot of people were, you know, using illegal drugs, using HGH and steroids and all that crap, man. And I just wanted to have something that's going to keep my energy up. I got somebody to offer me some amino acids, man. I'm not putting none of that stuff in my body, but I just wanted something natural. And, you know, wheatgrass is natural. You know, so, you know, it's, you know, for your listeners, they can look it up, man. It's a natural supplement that you can put into your drink. It gives you energy, and it also keeps you healthy. So.
Now, you know, I hate to do it, but I do this on some shows. I kind of go off on at least a 2-3 minute tangent off of my main theme. But you happen to bring up something that I just want to ask your opinion. You said that when you were playing, you saw guys get offered, you know, stuff, I guess, that was banned by the league. Now, you and I both know it's been around to one degree or another, I would say, probably for years. Matter of fact, the guy I used to play in the NFL, Al Zato, was the first one I started when I
was
in attention.
Oh, man. I knew who he was, played for the Raiders.
Yeah. And but what do you think when you have someone – who's as admired as an Alex Rodriguez have to come and admit? Is it that you being a person who's been a professional athlete, is it that much pressure to be on top that you just go ahead and compromise a lot of your you know, I guess, ethics, principles?
I mean, I'm going to tell you something, man. Me personally, and I tell people all the time when I go speak all over the country, man, I feel like I was born with two left feet. I wasn't that good of an athlete, and I never claimed to be that good of an athlete. But what I did is I outworked everybody. So I really have a problem with these guys, whether it's Alex Rodriguez or Barry Bonds, who's been accused, or anybody else who's using these supplements, because you got some guys that's out here working hard and practicing every day and trying to do everything they can to make this team, but you have this guy that's cheating on the side and, you know, using steroids and doing illegal drugs to enhance his performance. I think it's unfair to the guys who go out here and work hard. There's always pressure. There's pressure in everything you do. I mean, your listeners, I mean, they're not NFL ball players, but it's pressure to take care of your families. It's pressure to go to work every day. It's pressure to get your projects done. So I think it boils down to, you know, what's important to you. Is integrity important to you? You know, how's your relationship with God? Are you going to walk around in life and be a fraud, or are you going to be real with yourself? The things I dealt with in my book, I mean, I haven't made all the right decisions, but I was real about what I did, and I took the consequences for my actions. But as far as being an athlete, I think that, you know, using illegal drugs is wrong. I don't care if it's baseball, basketball, football, whatever. I've been tested several times over, from high school to college to the pros. And I think it's a double standard with the baseball players that are not being tested. And, you know, now they're starting to test them in 2008 and 2009. I think they should have been tested a long time ago. So, you know, A-Rod, he came in the league, you know, batting a high average. He came in the league, an all-star. Why would you try to jeopardize that to, you know, trying to take some drugs and enhance your performance when you're already good? I mean, I don't understand that. And again, it boils down to your integrity. When it's time to hang up your cleats, you got to hang them up and let the next man come in. You know, I mean, what is Alex getting, $275, $300 million? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when he came into the league, he was a good player. And these guys, you know, I guess they get to a point where they start getting older and they start getting paranoid. But, again, it boils down to your integrity.
Good stuff, good stuff. Listening audience, if you want to call in throughout the conversation and ask my guest a question or make a comment, number is 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. I'm going to take my first intermission break right now, but please don't go anywhere. When I return, I will have more questions for book author and motivational speaker Robert Jackson. I'll be right back in a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome, everyone, to the Lobologist Live. I'm your host, the Lobologist. Your show has given me some great tips, some helpful tips on dating as far as being a single brother. And it's helped me a lot.
You prove to people every day that even though I've only known you for, a couple weeks now, you've already made an impact. People always think you have to sit up here and work your way into everyone's life. I don't think that's the case with everyone. Sometimes people have that first impact, first day, and that's what you do. So, I don't have any of those things out yet.
Call to toast my boy to the
ball. Book calls laughter, it may cause some tears, but one thing that will happen is that I will not hold back. It'll be raw, gripping, but tell me, when's the last time you heard that from a man? That is, if you can handle the truth. Tune in Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, LobologistLive.com, where Sunday nights and relationship advice will never be the same again.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy. You're not the richest guy out there. How are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with book author and motivational speaker Robert Jackson on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back, welcome back. If you're just tuning in to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry tonight, I'm joined by a former NFL running back who is now spending a large majority of his time traveling around the country giving inspirational speeches to youth, teenagers, young adults about personal accountability, responsibility, not making invalid excuses. He's the author of a book entitled No More Excuses, Black Man Stand Up, and his name is Robert Jackson, and he's with me tonight. Now, Robert, I want to rewind for a second. You were talking about some ailments and diseases that not only we as people in general, but specifically African Americans. Number one, how often do you think, say, a man, brother, 35 and older, should visit his doctor? Once a year, twice a year, as needed, what?
Well, I would say it depends on his health issues. If there's a brother who has diabetes or has hypertension, if he doesn't have a blood pressure cuff at home or if he doesn't have insulin at home to take care of himself, I think, you know, we at least on the average need to see the doctor at least twice a year on the average. If you have some kind of disease or some other problems, you probably need to see him a little bit more often. But I say at the minimum, at least twice a year to get a checkup.
At least twice a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know I was asking you stuff about food, and see, I'm just treating you like not only you're a motivational speaker, that you're Robert Jackson, the nutritionist, but is too much sugar in your diet just a recipe for diabetes or not necessarily?
Well, you know, it just depends on the person. I mean, you know, diabetes runs in my family. My grandmother has it. I have an uncle and an aunt that has it, but my mom doesn't have it. I don't have it. So it just depends, man. I think too much of anything is bad for anybody. You know, I mean, I eat candy and I eat sweets from time to time, but I just don't eat a lot of it. I don't do a lot of anything. I try to do things in moderations, but I guess it just depends on the person and what kind of ailments they're dealing with. Because sometimes a person can be a hypertensive diabetic. Now, you know, the products that I sell products for respiratory, and that's another problem that runs in the black community is asthma. You know, a lot of times it's not about, you know, there's drugs out there to treat the asthma. There's Advair, which I used to carry, and there's Requip, not Requip, but Qvar. There's ProAir Albuterol. There's different things you can treat it with, but if you're not taking your medicine properly, that can be a problem as well. So I think compliance is one of the biggest problems, especially with black males. You know, well, I feel better today, so I'm not going to take my medicine. You know, hypertension is a silent killer. You know, you can just walk around one day and just pass out and die from that. So I think we need to start taking our health more seriously.
Exactly, exactly. I want to give a couple of quick shout-outs in my chat room. Callie Champ, glad to have you. Lovely 9780, glad to have you join me again. And Dan D. in the chat room, glad to have you join me. Now, you got one disease, honestly, and see, I'm just confessing all kinds of ignorance tonight with you. Most of these that you listed in your book, I'm, of course, familiar with diabetes, hypertension, but I know I'm going to pronounce it wrong, nephrotic syndrome, nephrosis?
Nephrosis, you're pretty close. Kidney failure, bro.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, are you looking at one of the pages in the book?
Yeah, yeah, page 157 in his book. He actually, in 156 and 157 in his book, people, he lists the different things that top 10 leading causes of death among black Americans in the year 2001. And I'll just read them off for my listening audience. Number one, cardiovascular disease, including heart attack, heart disease. Number two, cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, prostate. Now, they always say brothers, well, men, period, should start when they hit about 40, should start having a prostate check.
Right.
So, yes, I want to encourage my male listeners who are about, you know, late 30s, early 40s, if you've never been tested for prostate, please do so. Number three, stroke. That's what did my father, man. My late father, he had a stroke. And it really, number four, now this is interesting. Number four is unintentional injuries, including car accidents, falling, drowning, playing too much video games. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, all that. Well, you'd be surprised on how many unintentional injuries that folks had, like, you know, John Travolta's son fell and hit his head.
Oh, yeah, you know, I read about that,
That's an unintentional injury that caused death. You know, so it it happens, you know, and along with car accidents, you know, motorcycle accidents are very rapid in the summer. I've been in one myself. You know, got a drunk driver ran out in front of me on the motorcycle, and I jumped off.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, motorcycle accidents or, you know, you're not covered like in a car. So, you know, that can cause, you know, serious injury or death.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Number five is diabetes. My mother definitely had diabetes. Homicide, which is sad that it's on the list. Matter of fact, to be truthful, though, I thought it would be higher. So, I'm glad to see it's down in number six. But too much black-on-black crime in our community. I'm going to ask you a couple questions related to that in a minute. Number seven, HIV/AIDS. Actually did a show. Listeners, if you remember, I had an actor named Jimmy Jean-Louis. I was in a movie, Fat Girls, with Monique. He was on NBC's Heroes, and he talked about the importance of getting tested for HIV. Number eight, chronic lower respiratory disease, which includes lung disease and, as Brother Jackson mentioned a few minutes ago, asthma. Number nine is the disease that gave me problems pronouncing it, nephrosis. Am I saying it right, nephrosis? You laugh
nephritis.
Right now, bro. That is it.
Yeah, it's all good. You're pretty close.
See, that's called
You know, I'm making fun of you. I know it because my mom and my grandmother have it. So my mom's been on dialysis for going on 18 years now. My grandmother's been on for 15 years. So,
well, you know, if it's related to dialysis, I really feel bad that I don't know it because actually that, my mother was on the last few years of my life. She was
well,
on dialysis.
Yeah, kidney disease, people just know about kidney disease. They don't know about nephritis, you know. So, you know, since my mom has been on, she was on there for so long, and, you know, I kind of, you know, picked up the term because she talked about it a lot.
And finally, number 10, another one I'm not necessarily familiar with, septicemia.
Uh-huh, that's it.
And is bacteria in the blood or blood disease? Interesting.
Yeah.
Good information in here, brother. Now, I want to ask you, you know, sometimes athletes, I don't want to generalize because we there's a lot of quality athletes in this country, but, you know, some have gotten the image of being kind of self-absorbed, wanting to be all about the bling-bling. What first inspired you? Two things. One, to want to get real active in your community. And secondly, and more specifically, What inspired you to say, I want to put a lot of my thoughts and philosophies and ideas in a book and publish a book?
Well, to answer your question, there was a couple of things. First of all, growing up and never met my biological father was really tough on me. I used to make a lot of excuses about why I was getting in fights, why I was getting kicked out of school, why I had anger problems, and got to a point where a young man held me accountable. I was speaking to some kids, which I've been doing since college, and one young man said, "Are you dealing with your issues? Are you angry about anything?" And that just, you know, kids will humble you. And I started thinking about some of the things that I had experienced growing up, not only growing up without a father, but, you know, both of my best friends were murdered and buried close to 35 or 40 guys I grew up with and another 40 or 50 in prison. So just watching the demise of my neighborhood that I grew up in, not to mention the other communities from around the country, I mean, it was tough going through that. But I wanted to encourage kids that just because you grow up in a certain environment don't mean you have to become your environment. So the reason I wrote the book was, for one, to heal myself from some of the past things I've been through, like abuse, anger, and some of the other things I had gone through. And also I wanted to help heal some other men, because men, as men, we got ego problems. We don't like to talk about our problems. We want to walk around like we got it all together, and we don't. One of the saddest things I've ever seen is at the Congressional Black Caucus. You know, I see men walking around like they have it all together in their suits, and I can see the pain hiding behind that suit. But what we're doing, we're passing on that same cycle of dysfunction and destruction onto these other brothers, and we're wondering why these kids are running around here killing each other, and we're wondering why these kids are sagging their pants and doing some of the other things they're doing, because we have got to stop telling these young men, pull your pants up, and start telling these young men who they are. Mm-hmm. Tell them where they come from. Talk to them about their history. Talk to them about the history of what they're doing and the cycle of destruction that they're following. And if you change his way of thinking, not only will he pull his pants up, he'll go to class, he'll do all the other things that come along with it. So those are some of the things that inspired me to write this book. I thought it was something that needed to be written. I think it's our issues have been sugarcoated too much, and we got too many people talking about the problem. I wanted to put solutions in my book, and that's why I wrote the book. Not just talk about the problem, I wanted to talk about the solution, because if you're not part of the problem, you're part of the solution.
Now, you know what's funny, man? A young brother who I work with, and you also work with the Student African American Brotherhood, he said the funniest thing about you, man. He said, man, that brother Robert Jackson, he said, one moment when he's talking, man, he seems really, you know, warm and empathetic. Like you could just sit down and talk to him about your problems. He said about 5 minutes later, he has his demeanor like he just whooped your ass.
Oh, man, that's funny, man. Probably not the first time I've heard that, man. I seem to have a serious look about me, man, but I'm cool, man, you know.
Brother Jackson's like, man, I'm over my anger issues, man. I ain't going to steal on nobody, man. I just want to inspire you.
Hey, you know, I don't want to steal on nobody unless I have to, man. I put those days behind me. That was my anger days, man. Well, I'll steal off on you in a minute, you know, but no, man. that's a funny observation.
I'm going to chuckle, man, when he told me that. Now, in your opinion, why do so many, and I might be generalizing because I'm sure you got certain young brothers out here who are motivated, but you're talking about a lot of brothers, say, wearing the saggy pants. Why do you find that so many young brothers, I was joking at the beginning of the show about playing. I used to be an addict for John Madden NFL football.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think I ever got to a point where I was, like, skipping work or something to play it. But, you know, you got some young brothers that will spend 12 hours, 5 days a week playing video games and not even trying to get a degree. Do you think the idea of education and getting a college degree have just kind of lost its appeal with this generation?
I think it has, man, because it's not just this generation. I think back when I was in college, man, I came in with 30 freshman football players. Only four of us graduated out of the 30. And, you know, guys playing video games and just not taking school seriously. I know we talk a lot about our young people and their problems, man, but where did they get those problems from, man? there's a cycle of destruction that's going on with just black men in general. We hating on each other. We hate to see each other prosper. We're not helping each other network. And it's only in corporate America, only 3% of the management positions are held by black males. I mean, it's sad, man. It's a cycle of destruction that's going on within our community. And then we sit up here and fuss at our kids who we're not raising. Because many of us who grew up in the hood or grew up on the rough side of town, and don't get me wrong, man, some people grew up with two parents and still having it tough. You know what I mean? You can grow up with two parents in the house, and that don't mean that your father was there. You know, he could have been there physically, but mentally he wasn't there. So a lot of times these kids are dealing with the streets are raising them. You know, my mom was a strong mother, but she couldn't teach me how to be a man. So I learned to be a man in the streets, and I had to go through my growing pains. And we have a lot of kids who are, I mean, I used to teach high school. I mean, after I got done playing football, I started teaching high school. Walk down a hallway in a high school, and you hear all the profanity and all the things. Who's raising these kids? Then I see the parents coming in, they acting just as ignorant as the kids. You know what I mean? And then we wonder why our kids are jacked up. So I think it's a cycle of destruction going on, and the real men need to put their feet down and start raising these kids around us, because it's all about raising another man's child. All these kids belong to us, not just ours. And it shouldn't take child support or the court to tell you to take care of your responsibility.
You know, you make such a good point, and because my brother, I don't know if you've met my brother yet. I got a brother who's teaching school here in Northwest Indiana, and he often kind of jokes that sometimes, you know, when he's dealt with some of the quote-unquote bad kids, you know, at first his initial tendency is to want to criticize them, but as you alluded to, he will tell me that in many instances when he meets the parent or parents, he's like, oh, okay. No wonder this kid is acting like this.
Yeah, we don't understand that, man. Some of these kids didn't even eat the night before they came to school. Some of these kids watching their doors like a revolving door. Their mom is running men in and out of the house all night. They're not getting any sleep. You know, just a lot of things. I'm not making excuses. I'm just being real about it, because I've gone to some of these kids' homes, and I've watched the environments that they grow up in. And some of these parents come to school. And, you know, I have a parent conference, and a parent come in, and, you know, I'm wondering, I mean, I thought the kid was off the chain until I met his mama. You know, then he doesn't have a strong male presence in his life. I mean, I had to snatch one little kid up, man. He called his mom a B right in front of me.
Mm.
And, you know, I just, you know, I kind of blacked out, and I looked up, and I had him snatched up in his eye.
See? See? That's what his brothers made their company.
Hey, man.
I bet you was one woman in the next thing.
Hey, I didn't say I didn't have the tendencies. But no, seriously, man, I snatched that brother up. I said, man, don't you ever, long as you black, disrespect your mom like that under no circumstance. It says in the Bible, no matter what, to honor your mother and your father, even if you don't like them. And, you know, you cannot go around doing that. And from that day forth, I don't think he's done that anymore, but I was the first man to step to him like that. And I stepped to him like a real man. And, yeah, I snatched him up, but I also talked to him. And I talked to him in a respectable manner. I said, man, that is not how you address not only your mom, but how you address women in general. And we're teaching our young men to be disrespectful to women, and how we expect them to be good husbands and good role models in the community when they're not even being good stewards toward their own parents.
Okay. I want to actually get into being a good husband. But first, I have a call. Area code 773. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, book author Robert Jackson. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Alan. This is Lovely out of the chat room.
Hello, Lovely from the chat room.
Hello. I'm enjoying the show, and I'm enjoying your guest, Robert. I had a question. I'm a single mother raising a young son. He's 5 years old. And I try to keep him involved in different things, but I was just wondering, what would he suggest for a young mother, well, semi-young mother, raising a five-year-old, and just what kind of guidance or suggestions would he have for, you know, to keep him on the right path?
How you doing, Lovely? First of all, I appreciate you calling in, and that's a good question that you just asked. you know, same thing I tell you about my mom. I mean, I'm almost 6 feet, 235 pounds. Well, let me tell you something. I don't disrespect my mom, and to this day, I still have a fear in me for my mom. My mom was crazy. You know what I mean? And one of the things that you have to instill in your kids is that fear factor. Let them know that I am the boss. And even though I'm not your father, I am your mother. I'm your mother and your father right now. So just keep on being consistent in his life. And like you said, you're putting him in some positive programs. My mom put me in the Boys Club, and she put me in some other programs. And it's not your job to be the man. It's your job to be the mother. And one thing about being a mom, just being consistent. Don't be your child's friend. You be his mom. You know, that doesn't mean that he shouldn't have an outlet to come and talk to you. He's still young. You say he's in the fifth grade? Or is he 5 years old?
I think she's
five. So, he's five. But I try to keep him in, like, little league and karate class, just so he'll have different interests and, you know, just conscious about the education system and what school he's going to go to. But I just wanted to make sure that I was on the right path as far as, because I am kind of hard on him and I expect a lot of him, and I try not to baby him too much, but I didn't know if I was, you know, going overboard or what. You know, I just want to make sure that when I let him go from the nest, he's able to take care of himself. So, you know,
Just keep doing what you're doing. It sounds like you're on the right track. Don't ever yourself. I mean, you should be tough on him. I mean, we need our parents to be tough on the kids. And because the street's going to be tough on him. When he leaves out the door, I mean, those streets are tough on you. You know, and he needs, because I'm telling you what, when I was in college, my mom, I mean, she pounded in me. She pounded in my head. Don't ever set your drink down. Don't ever set your drink down. Go back to it. I mean, I got I'm 38 years old. I'm still paranoid about setting my drink down anywhere. So just keep instilling that positive information in him. Keep God up in him. You know, my mom kept me in church, and she did everything she could as a mom. But, you know, it's not your job to teach him how to be a man. But you can find some other positive men in your community, positive men in your church, you know, to maybe mentor your son. But, you know, you keep on doing what you're doing. You sound like you're on the right track. And I wish we had more parents that would put their feet down like you're doing with your son and making sure that he stays on the right track. So I commend you on what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is a great show. I'll continue to listen. Thanks again.
Thank you, lovely. Thank you for calling in, lovely. And if I have any other listeners, got about 20, 25 minutes left with Robert Jackson. If you want to call in, ask him a question, make a comment, it's 646-478-5710. Again, it's 646-478-5710. And I'm going to take a second break, but when I get back, I'm going to ask him, Brother Jackson, more questions about balance, juggling all his responsibilities. But as I go into my break, I don't know if you're familiar with my show, but now it's become part of my show. It's an integral part of my show where the title of my book, Robert, as you know, is Mode 1. But on the show, we kind of stretch it out to Mode 1. So I want to get Brother Jackson's rendition of Mode 1.
Oh, you wild, man. Mode 1.
Alan Roger Curry.
You're up front, straight forward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Listeners, I'll be right back in a couple minutes. I'm going to take a second intermission. But again, when I get back, I'm going to ask Brother Jackson here some questions about maintaining a degree of balance in your life, particularly when you live a lifestyle that's very active and full of responsibilities. So stay put. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh, my God.
Well,
when I made the movie, it was never my intention to bash black women. What it's about is trying to show black women for the first time that some of the contributions to why our relationships don't work actually do come from this.
So online dating actually allows you to get to know someone far better than if you met someone for 20 minutes in a bar.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I agree with Evan
Hovart. We were created to couple up, and I don't care who you are, how successful you think you have it, or how happy of a life you think you would have without a companion. We were created with a longing to couple with someone else.
Only God can judge me, and only God can judge these people. Everyone has the right to live their life, and who am I to judge a person for what they want to do? If it works for you, more power to you. Go ahead.
L.A. is like a meat market.
don't I know?
I don't know what it is, but people, somebody's looking for something. So fried chicken is like women to me. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I even wrote a poem. So just like chicken.
Miss McDermott, glad to have you here.
Alan, I'm just feeling a lot of love right now. Yeah, you got me all a tingling. So let's talk about
702 is Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Jimmy Jean-Louis.
Hey, what's up, Alan? What's up, Jimmy J?
Hey, how are you? Jimmy J, somebody knows me.
Oh, my goodness.
I could just move.
Alan.
No, you know, hey.
You're horrible.
What?
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with book author and motivational speaker Robert Jackson on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
I'm here with Brother Jackson. If you're just tuning in, I'm here with book author and motivational speaker Robert Jackson. He is the author of No More Excuses, Black Man Stand Up. And what we're talking about, well, we've been talking about a number of things, health, you know, inspiring young black men. But one of the things I want to ask you about now, Brother Jackson, is if when you are a person like yourself who has a number of activities you're involved in, a number of responsibilities on your plate, how do you become a master of time management?
Man, you know, that's a good question, man. It's all about balance, man. You got to weigh the things that are most important to you in life, you know, God and family and work. You know, my schedule is pretty busy, man. I just try to find a balance with my family. And, you know, I try to find a balance with work and a balance with my traveling because, you know, I travel most weekends and speak on the weekends and do book signings. So I just try to prioritize things that are most important to me. And things that are less important, man, I kind of put them down at the bottom of the list. And I try to, you know, get the things that are most important, not only to me, but the things that are affecting other lives around me. Like, for instance, I had a choice to, I was supposed to have a lunch meeting today with someone that wanted to talk to me about, you know, doing a book. And I also got a call from a school that, you know, this young man was really in dire straits and really needed some guidance from another male person. So I had to make a choice. So I called and canceled my lunch because I wanted to be there for that young man. And when I went there to talk to him at the school today, I had to, you know, mentor some other young men there. So, you know, sometimes you have to prioritize what's most important to you because, you know, if you don't do that, you're going to find yourself lost.
Now, you're in an interesting situation. You're a book author, but your wife is also a book author in her own right.
Yeah.
Do you guys act as each other's kind of muses and keep each other inspired and, you know, bust each other's chops to stay on top of your writing?
Man, busting chops, man. I want to stay married, bro. Are you crazy or something, man? You know, you talk to any woman, man, you don't want to do that. My wife, she was an author well before I was, and she's put out several good works. She wrote Sorority Sisters, Hand Me Down Heartache, Night Before 30, and Just My Luck. But she's taking on a new venture now. We both own our own business. We own LaBelle Publishing, so we have our own publishing house, and we own our own speakers bureau, Nova Concepts. So she's kind of graduated from the writing aspect, and she's actually publishing other authors now. So, so she keeps me in line because, you know, it's funny, man. I went and did a speech. I think I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I did a speech at the Alpha Convention or Alpha Leadership Conference. And, man, I got a standing ovation, people coming up, getting books and stuff. And, you know, I'm looking for, you know, ovation from my wife, man. And the first thing she said, well, you didn't do this right. So she holds me accountable, man, and I appreciate that from her because I think that we need someone to hold us accountable. So we find a balance there, man, but, you know, for the most part, I do the speaking, and you know, she's pushing my book now. She's publishing other authors, so that's what we're doing now.
Now, you know, Brother Jackson, I got to tell my listening audience this cute little story to show you the love in this relationship. Brother Jackson came to Northwest Indiana to speak to the young brothers I helped mentor, and he was in the midst. Matter of fact, you might still be in the midst. Are you still in the midst of that 40-day fast?
No, I'm done now.
No,
yeah, I got done right before Easter.
Okay. But I know that had to be – well, I'm sure you were, you know, motivated and focused, but at the same time, I'm sure it had to be challenging. But listen to the audience. His wife called me – because she was concerned about her beloved hubby, and she gave me this list of stuff that I had no idea what it was. Like some stuff he already mentioned, like wheatgrass. She was like, Aaron, could you go to the health store and pick up some rice cakes and wheatgrass? And I mentioned Jamba Juice, and boy, you would have thought I mentioned the lottery. I mean, she got excited when I said, sister, oh, yes, go to Jamba Juice and get him a Jamba Juice drink. Yes, please do that. And I was like,
oh, man, that's funny.
And then I was talking to this brother. He was like, my wife called you, didn't she? She called you, didn't she? Because I started asking you about health food, buying you apples and stuff. You're like, my wife called you, didn't she? Yeah, but she was worried about her hubby. She thought you was just going to get weak and maybe fall out of something while you're talking.
Man, you bring some rice cakes for me, man. I'm going to put you online, man, and you play as before me. No, man, but yeah, I just did the 40-day fast for Lent, did along with my church, and did the corporate fast, man. And not only is it time you can spend time with God and get re-cleansed, but it's a good cleansing for your mind, body, and spirit, man. And, you know, I gave up meat and sweets and gave up sodas and eggs and cheese, man. I mean, I gave up almost everything. And like Brother Allen said, you know, I was just stuck with smoothies and carrots and fruit and all that kind of stuff, man. But, you know, spent some quality time with God and, you know, got a few pounds off me that I need to get off anyway. So it was a good cleansing for my body and my mind and soul.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, what role do you feel spirituality plays in your career goals, your personal interests, and your relationship with your wife?
I believe that, you know, that I wouldn't be anywhere without God, and I'm not ashamed to say that. You know, growing up the way I did and being raised, my mom raised five kids, four girls, and I was the only boy in one of the roughest neighborhoods in the Midwest and the United States, you know what I mean? So, you know, I had to have that spiritual grounding, and I've gotten a lot closer to God, and I think it's played a role in every aspect of my life as a father, my life as a husband, my life as a human being, because, you know, like myself, many men haven't been taught to be with one woman. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of us, you know, especially me being an athlete, And being a star athlete, you know, me and, you know, the guys that you run across and like, man, conquer as many as you can. Nobody's really teaching us the right thing. And, you know, I'm trying to do it the right way. And, you know, like I said, it's a daily struggle, you know, just trying to do things right. But, you know, I just keep trying to hold on to God's hand. So my spiritual life, man, that's the most important thing to me right now, because God comes before anything. I mean, it's God, then it's my wife, and then it's my kids, and then it's everything else. You know, God is first and foremost in my life, and he always will be.
Now, that's interesting to hear you say that, because not too many people actually, honestly, at least people I've interviewed, would say that they put God over their spouse, their significant other. But if you are a person who lives your life by the Bible, it does say that you put God first and everything else will fall into place.
Right.
And, so that's good stuff. Let me take a see if I, one of my loyal listeners, sometimes he just listens, and other times he has a question or comment. Irvin V. Pulliam III, are you just listening, or do you have a question or comment for my guest?
Oh, man, I got a little both, first, a comment I want to make. Now, you know, when I'm listening to the show, which is about 100% of the time, so 90-plus of the time when I'm listening to the show, you know where I'm at when I'm doing it now. Now, you know. Can you tell them?
Now, brother, this is a good friend of mine. We grew up. His name is Irvin. He's a gym rat if there ever was one. And, dude, it's just all about fitness. And, matter of fact, back in the day, we used to go jogging together, and I would always get tired. I'd be ready to stop, like, after, you know, a half mile. And what was funny, Irv was, he instead of saying, no, you know, don't quit, keep running, he would always act like we can ready to stop in a couple minutes. He said, oh, man, we can ready to stop in a few minutes. But let me tell you this story. And he'd tell me these entertaining stories that would keep me running.
Good, man. Motivation.
I know. So I just wanted to definitely say, you know, that's where I'm at most of the time, listening to Upfront Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. So I don't compromise either working out or listening to the show. But I appreciate what Robert was sharing earlier about that, because definitely I feel that, you know, fitness is plays a big role in every aspect of your life, and certainly helps helps you have the energy to be motivated to most all other things. The question I have for you, Robert, though, I heard you mention some things about definitely mentoring, so I know you're doing that. I was just wondering if you have a chance to ever get involved with recruiting us to your former college and do any mentoring, and that way it maybe help some people, some guys that are having problems for trying to make it onto college level playing ball.
Let me tell you something. That's a good question, man. I do that all the time. Just recently, I'm a part of 100 Black Men here in Indianapolis, and we just had a Botillion scholarship dinner. And one of the Botillion members was trying to decide where to go to college at, and I was telling him about Western Kentucky and all that, and he went down there for a visit, and now he's going to go to school there in the fall. I talk to young men all the time, and the biggest thing I talk to student-athletes about is life after sports. And I know that's what they don't want to hear, but I'll tell you, your sports career is a blur compared to the rest of your life. And at age 38, I mean, my career is over as far as sports, but it's just begun as far as the rest of my life. I said, sports is only going to be a small portion of your life, and you have to get ready for your future. So I do a lot of mentoring. Just this coming up Saturday, I'm taking 30 young men down to IU in Bloomington. I think Brother Curry went to school there. And we're going to go down there and visit IU Bloomington. They're going to be talking to professors. They're going to be talking to academic advisors about what they expect on the college campus. They're going to talk to some college students, talking about their first year in school. So we're giving them that experience right now. I'm taking middle school and high school boys down on this college tour because I want them to know what it's like to be on the college campus to get that experience. So that's an ongoing process with me, is mentoring and trying to get young men geared toward their future.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Walking the walk and talking the talk and raising awareness. That's great.
Hey, man, I don't know any other way, brother. That's the only way I can do it.
Right, man.
And I keep it real, too. You know what I mean?
I appreciate it.
Okay,
all
man,
right, EVP3, appreciate it. EVP3 is in Seattle. And like he said, he's See, listeners, this is what I'm talking about. I appreciate him because he even when he's working out, he got on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry because I always had these quality guests like Robert Jackson. Now, would you say, and this might be kind of a dumb question for you, but would you say that your emphasis on health and fitness, and I'm assuming your wife probably has just as much an emphasis on health and fitness as you do, would you say that helps keep a lot of your romantic sparks alive in a relationship?
Oh, man, absolutely, man. I mean, I think that, you know, having that balance in general, man, just having, I mean, health and fitness is important. But health and fitness is not just about, you know, the body and keeping the body physically in shape, but it's also mental healing, you know, meditating and, you know, it's relieves a lot of mental stress. You know, working out relieves stress, man, believe it or not. You know, so I think it's very important to have that balance. But, you know, I don't think any complaints are coming from that area, man. So, you know, you know what I'm saying? I'm 38, man. I'm feeling like I'm 21, man. So I'm straight right now, man. I mean, I may hit a brick wall one day. I haven't hit it yet. I'm running through them right now. So I think that having that balance is very important. And one thing she's helped me is, like you said, you joked around when she called in. I mean, she's held me accountable as far as my eating, man, and I'm glad that I have somebody to hold me accountable because, man, my mom likes to throw down, man. And she told me, I'm going to cook Sunday dinner for you every Sunday. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. Don't do that. I can't eat your food every Sunday. Because mom, like, I mean, when mom cooks. I'm talking about the fried chicken. I'm talking about that sweet cornbread, the canned yams, the cabbage. I mean, she goes all out, man. I can't eat that every week, the lemon cakes, and, man, I'll be big as this room, you know. So I got to find a balance there. So she does keep me balanced along with that. But for your listeners, man, I mean, just because you work out don't mean that you're trying to, you know, get in the gym and overdo it and all that kind of stuff. You know, working out, I mean, it heals the body and it also heals the mind. You know, it's a good good cleansing for your mind, too.
Yeah, because I know every time I've been a consistent runner, which honestly has not been all the time, I'm kind of an erratic fitness person. But I noticed, yeah, when I run on a regular basis, I feel more mentally, at peace, just less stress-free, what you were basically talking about. And, I get real irritable and kind of grouchy when I don't go a long time without running. Now, you have, what, a couple kids, right?
I got two. I got a son. My son is 10, and my daughter is almost 2.
Okay.
Now, so I got a boy and a girl.
Given that you know, do a lot of traveling and active in all these organizations, going back to you and your wife for one more second, do you schedule – like some of my relationship experts I've had on my show talk about, when you're married, you still have to kind of schedule a date. Do you have like a date night with your wife?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. And we do a date night, and one night out of the month, we spend out of the house. You know, besides the traveling, one weekend out of the month, we just take off one weekend and just maybe, I mean, even if it's getting a room downtown or doing something like that. I mean, you have to date, man. You can't just work your life away. And you got to have a balance there, or you may not have a family, you know. And, you know, I take care of home, bro. You know, I travel a lot. But, you know, sometimes I take the family with me on some of my speaking engagements. So, you know, I went to Los Angeles not too long ago. I had to do a speech out there, and the family went with me. And I had a speech in Florida. I took the family with me. So when I can take my family, I do. So, you know, I try to take the kids so they can go to the amusement park and have a good time. But you definitely have to find that balance, man. And we definitely have a date night. And no matter what, we do that date night. You know, we try to do it at least, you know, twice a month. It's kind of hard to do it every week, especially when I'm working and traveling. But we do it at least twice a month, man. We really enjoy that, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you and your wife have any plans in the next, I don't know, year, 2 years, 3 years, of maybe – I know she's more in fiction and you're nonfiction, but – have you guys ever talked about doing a book together?
You know, we've been asked about that. We both got invited to do the National Book Club Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, in August. And some of the biggest authors you ever heard of is going to be there, you know, Terry McMillan and, you know, a lot of big-name authors are going to be there. And that's one of the questions that come up, are we going to ever do a book together? I'm not sure, because right now I'm really focused on getting the word out and trying to get black men to stand up and be responsible. And that's where my focus is right now. And I'm actually working on my second book as we speak. But like I told you earlier, my wife is in the process of publishing to other authors, and I think that's where her focus is right now. So I'm not saying it wouldn't happen down the line, but right now we're kind of focused in another area.
Okay. Okay. And so you're going to continue to travel. Now, let me ask you one more question, and we're kind of running out of time here, but for me, it's during times when I am on my kind of eat right kick and exercise kick, it almost seems easier for me to do it when I'm at home to when I'm traveling. How do you maintain your motivation when you're on the road?
Man, just one word, man, and I talked about it in one of the chapters in my book, man, is no matter what you do in life, it's going to require some kind of discipline. So, you know, just when I'm on the road, man, I try to get a routine together. I bring my workout clothes with me. And, you know, when I have some downtime, I try to get to the treadmill and run a little bit and, you know, bring my MP3 player and, you know, play some music or catch up on the latest, what's going on in the world. So, you know, you got to have that balance, man. But if you don't have discipline, man, you're not going to make it through anything in life. I don't care whether it's working out or doing your job or being a good parent. I mean, everything requires some form of discipline. So when I'm on the road, just like when I came down to speak at IU Northwest, man, you know you're wrong for having those wings right in my face. But, you know, like I'm not a brother or something, like I don't like chicken wings, man. You're not the only one that like wings, bro. You know, so it takes some discipline, man, because even though, you know, I had to urge for some wings, I knew that I, you know, couldn't have them right then, so I didn't have them. I just had the carrots and the Jumba Juice and other things. Man, I love Jumba Juice, right, by the way, man. So,
no, you're kidding.
Sad. I got to drive all the way to Gary to get some Jumba Juice, but it's all good.
Hey, man, Jumba Juice is the bomb. But,
oh, yeah.
Hey, listen.
It takes some discipline, bro. You know, it just takes a little bit of discipline, man. You get that discipline under wraps, man, you're in good shape.
Well, brother, I enjoyed having you on my show. Listeners, if you got no other two words, discipline and balance is the key in your life. I wish you nothing but continued success, Brother Jackson, and I'm sure you and I will be in contact. And, listeners, pick up his book. Especially if you have a son, African-American son, I don't know, let's say anywhere from 10 to 29. Yeah,
10 to infinity, man, because there's some older brothers that need to read it, too. They can go to my website.
Brothers in their 50s need to read. No more excuses. Black man, stand up. Robert Jackson has been my guest this evening. Listeners, join me next week. I will have a feng shui expert by the name of Marie Burgos from New York. You talk about the correlation between your love life and feng shui. Until then, I'm going to send this out on a frat brother, Oz Montel Jordan. This is how we do it. I'll see you next Thursday. Take care.
Give him the website, bro. BlackMenStand.com.
Black Men Stand Up. That's right.
MEN. BlackMenStand.com. Get on there and get that book. Peace.
This is how we do it. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it.
ain't no money and life show us so. And all they said was 6'8 be good. And people thought the music that he made was good. They lived the DJ and Paul was his name. He came up to money, this is what he said. You and OG are gonna make some cash. Sell a million records and we're making a day. Oh, I'm buzzing the club.
You can find Robert Jackson's book, No More Excuses, Black Man Stand Up, at www.blackmanstand.com. That's www.blackmenstand.com. Blackmanstand.com.